living room one time in Salt Lake City, back in the 1990s, I suppose, probably, early 1990s, and this fellow says to me, he says, I don't want to be a Christian because all Christians are hypocrites. And he proceeded to tell me a story about how he had gone to church and a man in the church had been dishonest and stolen a bunch of his money. And I think his real problem was not with hypocrites. His real problem was with this man that stole his money. But he was angry about that. And if you want to put it plainly, he was probably trying to take it out on God. And I got bad news for you. When you try and take something out on God, it doesn't work. You're taking it out on yourself is what you're doing. And so I told the man, I don't know why you think all Christians are hypocrites, but just because some are doesn't mean they all are. And it doesn't really matter because we're all sinners saved by grace. You need to know what a hypocrite is before we go any further. There's a verse in Proverbs 11 in verse 9. It says, "An hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor." That's interesting. It destroyeth his neighbor. A hypocrite is someone who is an actor. We went to Colonial Williamsburg when we lived in Maryland, and they have these people down there, and they pretend to be Revolutionary War era characters. And they dress the part, and they put makeup on. In some cases, they stand up on stage and take questions, and they just act like they're somebody else. That's a hypocrite's an actor, someone who attempts to make you think that they are something that they are not. Now, let's make sure we understand something. We're all sinners. And then quietly somebody, none of you folks, but somebody might say, well, I'm not as bad a sinner as those other people are. Yeah, uh-oh. The Bible says pride goeth before fall. Folks, our righteousness is as filthy rags. We deserved hell. If it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ, we didn't have a chance. And now, even though we're saved, were it not for the blood of Christ, we don't have a chance. But it doesn't mean you're a hypocrite just because you don't tell everybody all of your sins. In fact, the Bible says that we should confess our faults one to another and pray for one another. But I think it's very clear what the Bible's referring to there is, you ought to be humble enough to admit you're not perfect. Humble enough to admit you have weaknesses, you have failures, you have things in your life that you struggle with. But we don't need to go and tell everybody all of our sins. The Bible says that we confess our sins to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You don't have to, let me just say it plainly. I'm getting too long-winded here. Here's the statement. The fact that you don't tell everybody all your sins doesn't mean you're a hypocrite. Pretending to be something you are not, particularly trying to make people think that you are more dedicated to God or more spiritual or more close to the Lord than you really are, pretending that and doing things to deceive them or to persuade them, that's hypocrisy. The actor that puts on the different face and pretends to be something he's not. That's hypocrisy. You'll see it very plainly in this passage. And why would it bother anybody that someone else is a hypocrite? It really, at the end of the day, folks, we all stand before God. So I've known people and names come into my mind that they acted like they were really spiritual in some certain area. Then I found out later they weren't spiritual in that area at all. And they've tried to deceive people. That's hypocrisy. Now we're going to see that here in the story tonight. This is the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias' name is interesting. It's a Hebrew name, a Hebrew word, and it means God has favored. Anything that you are because God made you that way. Paul said it this way, by the grace of God I am what I am. Whatever abilities you've got, whatever you can do, whatever gifts you have, whatever knowledge, understanding, whatever strength, it came from God. And God should get the glory for it. Ananias was favored by God. And the name bears that out. The situation bears that out. He had some things other people didn't have. He had some property. He could afford to sell that property and do what he wanted to with the money. And he did something he shouldn't have done with the money, which we'll talk about here in just a second. There's a lot of questions asked in this passage. Peter, in verses 3 and 4, says, why? And in verse 9, he says, how? And I ask that same question. Why would anybody want to deceive other people? But I do know the answer. We care what people think about us. Sometimes teenagers are really bad about this, and you've got to be careful because teenagers are very, very sensitive to the way they are perceived by their peers. So that when you work with a teenager, you need to really be careful to correct them in a private way so that it does not embarrass them in front of their friends. And they even taught us that in the Army in leadership school. You always correct in private and you praise in public. And you do not use embarrassment or public scorn as a way to discipline someone. There's a time when things have to be made public, but typically not. Why? Why would you do this? God knows. Amen? And the fact that people don't know, what difference does that make? And when you see it here, it's very heinous. It's really a bad thing that they do, and we'll see why in a minute. Sapphira, his wife, her name means sapphire. It has to do with something that's beautiful. They pretended to be devoted to God in a way that they were not. They wanted to deceive people. Hypocrisy, acting one way, being another, starts in the heart. It pretends. It's the very first sin that we see in the New Testament dealt with by death. Capital punishment, if you will. I'll let you remain seated. I'll just read a few verses here and we'll have a word of prayer. The Bible says in Acts chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. Let's pray. Father, thank you this evening that we have this time again to open the Word of God. And I do pray that we would understand the seriousness of what we do here. God, it breaks our heart to see people that don't take your work seriously, but Lord, sometimes we can be guilty of that. But God, help us not to look at others tonight, but to look at ourselves and then to consider how important it is to be honest with you and honest with each other and honest with ourselves, and to remember that when we are pretending to be something that we're not, it's not just the people, but it's the Holy Spirit that is offended. I pray that you would give us strength and grace and mercy, change us, make us what we ought to be. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I won't talk long tonight. I can't. But I will show you. This is actually several things here that are misconceptions that hypocrites have. And we'll just kind of go through these really quick and be done probably here in about 15 or 20 minutes at the most. First of all, look at verse 2. We know it was land because of the end of verse 3. It says the price of the land. They sold the land. And let's just say, for simple arithmetic's sake, they sold the land for $1,000. And it's obvious that when they came in, they had the $1,000 in their possession, or at least somewhere, maybe not on their person, but they had the $1,000. And they came in and they gave, let's say, $700. And they laid that at the apostles' feet. And if that was the end of the story, that'd be okay. But what they said was, this is how much we got for the land. Now, here's what they're saying. They're saying, this is a complete sacrifice. They're saying, everything that came from that sale, we're giving to the Lord. And they're pretending to be completely devoted when they're partially devoted. If they had said, we sold the land for $1,000. Here's $700. Would anybody be offended? No. Praise the Lord, here's $700. If they had sold the land for $1,000 and had not said, they said, here's part of what we sold the land for. They haven't even got to disclose the price, and they gave $700. That would have been okay too. But what they did was they said, this is everything. And they said that because they wanted the people to think something that wasn't true. And they're lying to them. They're being an actor. They're pretending. And they forgot something. And you need to remember this. If you don't take church seriously, understand something. In Acts chapter, I think it's 13, if I'm not mistaken, when God sent out the very first missionaries, in one statement in that passage it says, the Holy Ghost sent them out. And then just a little bit later it says, the church sent them out. So what's going on there? So folks, we represent the Holy Ghost. When we meet here tonight, in a sense, this is the Holy Spirit. And I know everyone here tonight, we're all saved, amen? We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, amen? And so collectively tonight, the Holy Spirit is in this place in each of us. So if we represent something, if I said to you, I sold this car or whatever for $5,000 and I gave all the money to the church, but I didn't really, I'm thinking, oh, you know, these people won't know any better. But I'm forgetting, the Holy Spirit knows better. And if you don't think this is a big deal, look what happens. The minute Ananias lies about this, God says, we're not going to have that in the church. He takes his life. And then a short time later, when Sapphira does the same thing, God takes her life. And you know what it really is? It's sad. Now, I will tell you, I do think on rare occasion, and that may not be the right word to use, rare, but we'll use it for now. I do think on rare occasion, God takes people's lives because they refuse to walk with him. And I do know that, folks, there's always a consequence for sin. Now, sometimes you pray and the Lord forgives you, and that sin falls on the Lord Jesus Christ. And as far as heaven and hell are concerned, that's always the case. But sometimes in our life, in our churches, there's a consequence for sin. And I have seen, sadly, some people that are hypocrites. And I'll just plain spoken. I've seen some pastors that are hypocrites. Not that they pretend to be perfect, but that they pretend to be more spiritual or more sacrificial than they really are. And so here's the misconceptions. Let's look at these. First misconception, in verse 2, Ananias thought, then Sapphira as well, that the praise of men was more important than their service for God. They thought that the praise of men, they wanted to hear people in the church talking to each other saying, hey, did you see what those folks did? What, they sold that piece of land and they gave all the money to the Lord. They wanted the praise of men. Folks, if you're serving so that men will praise you, you're in the wrong place. You're doing the wrong thing. And you will burn out. Because after a while, the praise of men just won't be enough for you. If you're serving people so you can be seen, if you're serving people because you're afraid of what they're going to say, if you're serving because you're afraid of what they won't say, or if you're trying to get the praise of men, you missed it. Folks, what we want is the praise of God. That's why we serve, is because we want to please him. But the hypocrite, God gets pushed out of the picture, and people take center stage, and they're worried about what the people think. And somewhere along the way, pretty quick normally, you're going to learn something. You cannot please people. You can please some people sometime, but you're never going to please all the people all the time. If you do, you're in the wrong place, because the Bible says, woe unto you when all men speak well of you. The first misconception, they thought that the praise of men was more important than the praise of God or the service of God. Matthew 6:2 talks about the Pharisees. He says, and didn't Jesus say this over and over? Scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, love to pray, love to make people see them when they do things. They stand on the street corner, and if they gave money, they made sure people knew that they were giving, and they wanted the praise of men. In heaven, I use that word, when we stand before Christ and we are judged, if he praises you, folks that matter will be glad about what you did. But that applies here too. You know, if you stand up in front of a crowd of people, and I told you this story, I'm sure, at least once, but when I was being questioned in Maryland, somebody asked me a question, and I knew it was a loaded question. I just wasn't sure what to do with it, because I knew however I answered it, it was going to make some people unhappy. And so the way I answered the question was the way it should be answered in the Bible, because when you agree with the Bible, the people that agree with the Bible will be happy with you. And when you don't agree with the Bible, you're wrong. But when you agree with the Bible, the people that are not happy with you are the people that don't agree with the Bible. And so the question is, what do you want to do? You want to be right, or do you want to try to please everybody? But the real lesson there is this: no matter what you do, somebody's going to be unhappy. If somebody stands up in the church and says something that goes against Scripture, hopefully some of the people in church are going to say, hey, wait a minute, that's not right. And it's not so much whether they're happy with you or not, but they know the truth. So who do you want to please? The folks that don't like what God said, or the folks that do like what God said? You see what I'm saying? And in this passage, they wanted to please the people, even though God was the one that should have tried to please. Second misconception. The first one is that the praise of men is more important than serving God. The second one, in verses 3 and 4, he says, why? You know what? I can just about guarantee you, Ananias did not expect to fall down dead. Nor did his wife. Here's the misconception. They never thought that God would expose this private sin. Now, it would have crushed them if the truth had come out and they had lived. But God took it one step further. In this early church, which was a very important church, because out of this church came a lot of other churches, the Lord says, we're not going to have this nonsense, and put a stop to it just like that. If God still applied those principles today, we'd have some smaller churches, wouldn't we? But we'd have some purer churches. Because you saw at the end of the passage, great fear fell upon them. And they realized, I'm not going to do that. We shouldn't have to see a demonstration of capital punishment by the Lord to convince us, I'm not going to do that. And so the great misconception, one of them, is that God's not going to expose that sin. Listen to me, folks. In eternity, it's all going to get sorted out. And the fact that you think that God's going to hide your sin is a grand misconception. They didn't expect this. 1 Timothy 5:24 says it this way: some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment. Some men, they follow after. Sometimes you just know somebody's being wicked. Sometimes it doesn't come out till later. But the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. And in the case of hypocrisy, that certainly bore itself to be true with Ananias. So the second misconception, that God would never expose private sin. God does. The third misconception, that the men were really fooled and wouldn't find out. Now, watch this. This is interesting. Peter found out, didn't he? And I suppose a lot of other folks knew as well. But in verse 7, his wife came in. She didn't know what happened to Ananias, But Peter did. Now, that's interesting. Every time you see Peter, his life history kind of flashes before my eyes. And I see Peter back when the Lord Jesus Christ was being tried, and Peter was warming himself by the fire. Remember that? And we looked at this on Sunday morning a month or so ago, and this little girl says to him, "Aren't you one of his disciples?" No, I'm not one of his disciples. I'm just here. And the girl knew already. John had talked to her to get Peter in the place. She was just making conversation. I just want you to know something. Even in our day, probably a lot fewer people deceived by your hypocrisy, if there is any, than there are probably a lot fewer deceived than you think there are. Because, you know, you can see when someone is dedicated to the Lord. You can see when someone serves the Lord. Amen? I mean, you can see by what they do. You can hear it in their voice. You can tell by the way they talk. No, it's men are really not as fooled as you think they might be. Number four, and we get a little redundant here, but some people think God will never punish sin. Ezekiel 33:20, Ezekiel says to these people, he's talking about their attitude, "Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal, O house of Israel." And then God says, "I will judge every one of you after his ways. I will judge every one of you after his ways." Folks, God's a righteous judge. If you went down here to the court and you watched the judge and the first case came up and the person was guilty of, I don't know, speeding, and the judge said, "You know, your fine is $50, and that's a low fine today, by the way. My first speeding ticket cost me $12. 1973 or so. But the judge said to the first person, "You're guilty of speeding, your fine is $50. And then the next one comes along, exact same crime, exact same offense, and the judge said, "We're only going to charge you $5. Somebody's going to say, "Hey, wait a minute, what's going on here? That's not fair. A righteous judge should judge equally, right? You see, that's what Israel was saying here in Ezekiel 33. The way of the Lord is not equal. In other words, you're not being fair. How many times have I heard young people say that, Mr. Dahlman? That's not fair. Young people have a sense of fairness, especially when it deals with them. And that's not fair. He got more than I did, or he got less than I did, or she didn't get in trouble like I did. That's not fair. Folks, God's fair. Amen? Now, praise God. Our sins are covered in the blood of Christ. But folks, there's a day when we're going to be judged and we're going to be rewarded or we're going to suffer loss. I'm just going to say it plainly. And I'm preaching to the choir, which means I'm talking to folks that know this. But when you're in church, God sees. When you're not in church, God sees. When you this week have an opportunity to invite somebody out to the meetings, when you take the opportunity and invite them out, God sees. When you don't take the opportunity, God sees. When you choose to do something wrong this week, and you make that choice, and you know it's wrong, you choose to do it anyway, God sees. When you choose to do what's right, God sees. And folks, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and every one of us will give an account of themselves. The Bible says every idle word is going to be judged. The Bible says if you give somebody a cup of cold water in his name, you won't lose your reward. The hypocrite forgot all of that. He forgot that God judges these kind of things. And didn't Ananias learn that he was wrong rather quickly about that, didn't he? God judged right away. Number five, first of all, men's praise is not more important than serving God. The second one, God does expose sin. The third one, men do find out. And the fourth one, God does punish. Number five, some people think that God doesn't care. In fact, what did Peter say in verse 9? Do you see that? "How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt," that word tempt there means to test, "the Spirit of the Lord?" Here's a hard way to say that. What made you think that you could see if God cares? Or if God, better way to say it, what made you think that you could see if God would do anything about this? What made you think that you could see if God would ignore this and let it go? Don't we sometimes sin thinking God will let it go? Don't we? Sometimes we decide to do things that aren't right and we think, it'll be okay. God will understand. Or, folks, I just want you to know something. I've seen too much of this. It breaks my heart. People choose to sin. They disregard what God thinks about it. And then they disregard how it hurts other people. And this was a sin that could hurt other people. And they disregard that and they do it anyway. I just want you to know something. God cares. And the very fact that God doesn't immediately strike people dead, it might be a good thing, amen? But better than that, you're going to stand before God one way or the other. Whether he deals with it in this instance or when you step into eternity, it's going to be dealt with. And there's either going to be a reward or a loss. There's going to either be a Savior that says, well done, or a Savior that says that you were slothful. So the next one, there's just a couple to go here. Some people think that our sin doesn't affect other people. In verse 7, can I ask you this question? You don't have to answer out loud, but did the sin of Ananias affect his wife Sapphira? The Bible doesn't tell us who had the idea first, but one of them did. I can hear the conversation. Hey, we got this piece of land. Let's sell it. And let's tell everybody that we gave all the money to the church or to God. But let's keep some of it for us. And nobody's going to know. I don't know which one of them came up with that idea. But they both died. Folks, sin affects other people. When we choose not to serve God, when we choose not to be a strength in our church, when we choose not to be a soul winner, when we choose not to be faithful, when we choose whatever we choose that doesn't do what God wants us to do, it costs people. Folks don't hear the gospel. I am right now very aware of a situation in the church where, when you saw them this morning, there's little children that were sitting up here before church today. They have a really hard life because somebody sinned. And I just don't want to be more public about it than that. But the person that sinned still has a chance to do what's right and won't do it. And there's those little children are suffering because of that. And that breaks my heart. I want to do something about that. I want them to have a good Christmas. I want them to have a good Thanksgiving. I want them to know that somebody loves them. I want them to know Jesus loves them. I want them to know that we love them. Amen? Every time I see those kids, I want to hug them. It would be a mess. I just can't hug them all this morning. I went by and shook all their hands. But they're so cute and they're so innocent. And they've got that little smile on their face. Kind of a smile. Still a little bit of sadness in there. I'm like, oh, man. Why do they have to suffer like that? Why can't they have a normal life with a normal home and a dad and a mom and the good things that come with all that? Somebody doesn't understand that their sin hurts other people. And it does. Well, we're getting close here. Just a couple more. One more. Isn't it true that a lot of folks think God's going to judge other folks but not us? She fell down straightway in verse 10 at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came and found her dead and carried her forth and buried her by her husband. And I just would say it this way. We relegate the judgment of God to the back when it's us. And we put it right out front when it's somebody else. Oh, that person deserves to be judged. Folks, we all deserve to be judged. And you say, well, you know, I sure hope so-and-so gets judged for that. Well, if you ever said, I sure hope I get judged for that? No. The hypocrite understands there's judgment. We understand there's judgment. They just don't think it's ever going to come their way. And they both died. They were both carried out. So real quick, I've just got a couple of notes here and we'll be done. This is a good example of a hypocrite. False religion, like the Pharisees, is a good example. They pretended to be righteous, but they were living wickedly. They were, like the Bible says, they were whited sepulchres. What's in your heart? Now, I know we all sin. I understand that. But what's in your heart? Do you desire the righteousness of God? Don't you? Amen? And when we sin, the Bible says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But our attitude towards sin is what matters. Then the Bible says, this is in 1 John, but if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, what does that mean? I'm sure this week that somewhere along the way, every one of us is going to commit a sin, knowingly or unknowingly. But if you are saved and the Holy Spirit lives in you, what's going to happen is the Holy Spirit's going to convict you. And I just about guarantee you, you're going to find yourself praying, Lord, forgive me. Lord, change me. And you can be right with God. What is a hypocrite, really? It's a person that's not trying to be right with God, but they want folks to think they are. And so the Pharisees were great examples of that. Look at me, how religious I am. But then what did they do when they tried Jesus? They found people to lie so they could have him executed for something he didn't do. They were as wicked can be, but they wanted people to see him in a different way. That's hypocrisy. I was in Mexico, and I was with a missionary. We were driving around on a Sunday morning, and we drove by. And if you're in parts of Mexico, the poorer parts especially, everything is brown. The ground, there's no plants. It's dry. The houses, the fences, everything is brown. And we're driving along in this van. And it's a white 15-passenger van, which in Mexico means a 40-passenger van. But anyway, it's a white 15-passenger van. And he probably had rebuilt this motor a couple of times already. He was quite a mechanic. And Doyle Johnson was the missionary I was with. None of you know who he is, I don't think. He's retired now. Goes to church in Austin, Texas at Capital City Baptist Church, the very same church that Gino Sharp is at. And so we're driving along, and all of a sudden, brown soil, brown houses, brown everything. I see this glimmer of bright white down the road about, I don't know, 50 yards or whatever. We're driving closer and closer, and what on earth is that? That is white. We got there, and this Catholic priest was standing with a bunch of people around him. And he's got his arms up, and he's doing something to impress them. And his garment was clean. He had that thing white. I don't know how he did that in Mexico, but he did. And I thought to myself, if they could see what's on the inside, that's hypocrisy. I want to look important. I want to look righteous. I want to look good to men. But honestly, I don't care what God thinks. Folks, we care what God thinks, amen? We don't pretend to be something we're not. I want you to know I'm a sinner saved by grace. I want you to know something. I care what God thinks. And when we sin, we make it right with God. And that's how you keep from being a hypocrite. It's sad. It's sad that God dealt with it the way he did because he had to. And two people died. And I don't see that they had any children. It appears that they did not. But for a long time, that church, when people were talking about, hey, do you remember? But they'd stop right there because you can't say, hey, do you remember Ananias? He was a nice guy. No, you can't talk about Ananias because that hurts. Because he's dead. Because he was a hypocrite. It's ugly, isn't it? Folks, let's put what God thinks about us first. And then let people see what they see. And I've seen this in my life. When somebody is a hypocrite, they will go out of their way to make sure everyone is very impressed by them. But then when it comes time to deal with people or to do things, they don't care what God thinks. And they don't care really about that. They just want people to think they're spiritual. Folks, I hope God sees us for what we are. I know he does. I hope we're what we ought to be. And let men see what they see. It doesn't mean you got to run around with your sins posted on your back so they can know what you're doing. But it does mean you need to care what God thinks and be right with him. And then men will see what they see. And hypocrisy is a terrible, terrible thing. Let's not let it be numbered among us. Amen? Let's all stand and pray.